Morning, everyone. If you'll turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. And we're going to begin reading at the end of verse 37. And this is what it says. And the great throng heard him gladly. And in his teaching, he said, "Beware of the scribes, who like to go about in long robes and have salutations in the marketplaces and the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feast, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." It's an interesting text, isn't it? You're going to think I've gone quite mad today. But the subject today is civil religion. Has anybody heard that term before? Civil religion. It is the kind of religion that prospers in public places. It's comfortable in public places. And what I mean by that, I'm just going to say it all, and then I'll give you a caveat. It's the kind of religion that prospers in place at our city council meeting. When they open, and they had a big controversy, by the way, about this, about whether they would open in prayer. Do y'all remember that, reading it in the newspaper? Does anybody? Steve and Billy do? Yeah. It's the kind of religion that prospers at the... I've never been to one of these, and so it may be a pure fiction, that might prosper at the Chamber of Commerce meeting. The big banquet they have every year when they give an award out or something like that. It is the kind of religion that, quite frankly, that's comfortable with the moniker "In God We Trust" on our dollar bills. It's the kind of religion that is truly a religion of public places. Now, that's what we're going to talk about today. And I don't know if you've thought about that or not, and the place of civil religion in our society. I think it has a place, clearly. Civil religion can sometimes be gloriously authentic. And we've just been rejoicing in Billy Graham and his life periodically. Lee Beth and I watched Billy Graham on that terrible place called Facebook, and we all saw a little blib of Billy Graham visiting with, Woody Allen. Quite a scoundrel, Woody Allen, to put it mildly. And Billy Graham was asked to be interviewed, and he came, and I was very proud of him. But Billy Graham, many times in his life, took part in a Christianity that manifested itself in civil society. He was comfortable with it. I'll keep going. Jonathan Edwards is another example of that. New England, the great New England pastor in Northampton, New England. Jonathan Edwards took part very much so in civil religion in that town. In other words, when they had a meeting, if they had a city council, they were clearly, begin with prayer. And there was all kinds of public displays of religion in the public place. So I want to make it very clear, sometimes in civil religion, that part of religion that prospers in public places, it can be gloriously authentic. I hope you say yep, it can. But that isn't what this is about. So it can be false, horribly false, sickeningly false. And that's what the warning is in these passages. In fact, it can be so, I don't even have to, and I'm not going to, give you an example, because the examples are thrown up in our face all the time as Christians. Oh, you're that religion of that so-and-so, so-and-so. We know he's a hypocrite. And that kind of Christianity or religion is thrown back into the face of Christians, and we fall and we are besmirched and splashed with the filth of an untrue and an ungodly display of religion in the public places. What do you think? Is that possible? I know it's possible. And so civil religion is the religion, I'm going to read it, that prospers in public places. Sometime it's authentic, and sometime it is false. But in this text, I'm going to give you just something you can write down. It's always, always suspect. You know what a suspect is? Do y'all ever watch those shows on television when they're hunting down some criminal and the detective says, I like so-and-so for that? And what they mean is, this guy is a suspect in this murder case or this case of fraud or whatever. He is a suspect of being guilty. They're eyeing him. Civil religion, I'm going to say it right here, clear as a bell, and I think I have the authority of Christ here. Civil religion is always a suspect, is suspect. Sometimes it's innocent, and sometimes it's guilty. But it's always suspect, civil religion. Now, did you believe we were going to talk about this morning? With verse 35 of this chapter, Jesus discusses the scribes and what they say, and what they said about the Messiah and their teachings, etc. But with verse 37, the last part of verse 37, Jesus is now addressing these scribes in what they do. They not only teach things, but they act out a part in the society, the Jewish society. And what's he begin? I want you to do this with me. I want you to look down at verse 38, and in his teaching. Now, that's just a quick little phrase there. In his teaching, he said, this is kind of a little, it's kind of a little phrase to let us know that he said a lot more than what is going to be recounted. In his teaching, he said, beware of the scribes. This is an aspect of his teaching. And if you read Matthew chapter 23 at this point, there is a long section that Matthew has in there that Mark just gives us a brief glimpse at, but he's wanting us to see a part of the teaching of Christ, and it's about civil religion. So he says, in his teaching, he said, what's the next word? I want everybody to look at it. In his teaching, he said, everybody's saying it, beware, watch out. These scribes were to be, these scribes lived a kind of life that one should just be, keep your eye on it. It's not so much their person that you worried about, it's what their life that you worried about. And it's the kind of, it's the civil religion of the scribes. It's the kind of the place that they had in society. He said, watch out for these guys. They have deadly, you might say, you keep an eye on them because they have a horrible potential for evil. Last year, the widow Spradley, Mrs. Carol Spradley, she asked me about my kids. Aren't my both my daughters, after I tell you this story, they're not going to allow their kids to come visit me. I'm kind of tired, so maybe that, you know, it's a joke. They make me tired. But anyway, Mrs. Spradley, couldn't take care of her azalea bushes. They always were overgrown, and they never were good. And she watered them when she didn't need to, and she let them dry out when she didn't need to. And she called the neighbor man to let him trim them, and he trimmed them at the wrong time. And they were just poor, pitiful bank of azaleas. And she said, Jeff, one day, she says, what should I do? And I said, you call this man, and I gave her the number, and you get him to put a chain around those azaleas and jerk them out. And she kind of gasped. But she did it. And I said, after you do that, you put a lawn in there. Any idiot can mow a yard. You have to know what you're doing to grow azaleas to some extent. But any goofball, and I did it for 20, 30 years nearly. I mowed yards. It only, you know, didn't take much smart. And so she jerked out those azaleas, and while they were doing it, the Hispanic fellows were jerking them out and throwing them in the back of a pickup and her big trailer and stuff. And they pulled one out, and as they jerked that azalea out, come slithering out a copperhead. Big, nice, you know, round, you know, hefty, meaty copperhead. Pit vipers, aren't they? And those fellows said, whew, well, look at that. And they ran off and to get a shovel. And when they came back, it was slithering back under my azaleas to disappear into the azalea world. So look at my daughters. Our kids aren't getting in those azaleas. Watch out. Jesus said, now I want you to know, he said, watch out. He's just not messing with us here. This was part of his teaching. Watch out for the scribes and all that they are. Stand as a sentinel looking at for them, you know. You stand up there on the high hill and everybody can see you're up there watching the horizon for the enemy. Watch out. What are those guys that stand outside the camp and they go, you get in bad trouble in the military for not having, if you go to sleep at watch, or what do you call that? Brett's here. I always like to pull Brett into this. What if you're at, what's that guy called that stands? The sentry out there? What happens if he doesn't watch out and they catch him at it? He's in trouble. He's not watching out because there could be a deadly foe out there. Watch out. Watch out for this. I'm just really pounding this in because I'm teaching you. I'm hoping to get this through into your head because this is a deadly foe in our faith. Mere civil religion. You got to watch out for it. And this, and I'm just going to, we'll just define it right here. This is a civil religion that manifests itself in society, public society, but is not authentic. Now, why you have to watch out for it is because it's hard to see. I'm telling you, when that copperhead slithered into those azaleas under there, you could look around, and they looked around, and it's hard to see. I call it the tall grass of religion. That's where civil religion is. It's that tall grass. No telling what will jump out of that tall grass. If we were in Africa, I mean, a great lion could come out of there and grab you and pull you back into that, and you're a goner. So Jesus says, watch out. It's easy to see, by the way, in others. Have you seen someone that clearly loved this kind of person? That's Jesus. We're going to get more into it in a second, but it's a something, this dangerous kind of religion is easy to see in someone else. But you can tell, you know where the grass is the tallest? In your own heart. It is hard to detect. Jesus says, watch out for it. In this case, Jesus is talking about the synagogue. Matthew makes it very clear. He says, these are the guys that like to sit in the seat of Moses. But Mark is much more general. You can clearly see Mark listening to the preaching of Peter there in Rome. And the Romans, they don't know a lot about what goes on in a synagogue down in Jerusalem. They don't know about the fringes on the garments and all that. They don't know what the seat of Moses, but they do know what the best seat is. This is a universal problem. These scribes like the best seat. Scoot over, Steve. Let me sit there. It's a universal problem. And so in Mark, he just says, who like the best seats or like to go around with long robes. Do you think they had fellas in Roman society that went around in long robes? Yes. They were the priest of Zeus and all these other. They knew about this. The Romans understood quite well civil religion. And do you think the Romans saw this kind of religion in their own society? I guarantee it. In fact, most Romans knew that the civil religion of Roman society was absolutely, I don't know what to say, silly. They didn't really believe it, but it was a part of their society, and they all paid the respect to it. But now Jesus here is talking about the scribes and the Pharisees who were, in all cases, taught the true religion. In fact, in Matthew, it says, you do what they say. Did you know in Matthew? At the same place, Matthew says, you do what they say. Well, watch out for them. Be careful of them because there's nothing authentic in them. Watch out for this. They lay heavy burdens, this is Matthew, heavy burdens on men's shoulders, but don't move a finger to help them. They like the fringes on their garments. They love places in the honor of feast and the best seat in the synagogue. They love salutations in the marketplaces. Salutations in the marketplaces right out of Mark in the Agora. Remember when Paul preached in the Agora in Athens? That's the marketplace. This is religion that's spilled outside the synagogue into society in Jerusalem. And these guys just loved. Oh, they put their robe on in the morning, a long robe, and they said, I'm going to go shopping with my wife today. It's going to be a glorious day. I'm being a caricature of it. But when I get there, there's people going to say, hello, Rabbi. Hello, Master. And this is where Jesus says, don't call anyone Master, Teacher, or Father. Y'all know this stuff, don't you? But the fellas, this is something, it infected these poor scribes. And he says, watch out for this stuff. He's telling the faithful to watch out for it. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says there are those who preach the gospel out of pretense. Just like these down here in this text, it says these men prayed long prayers, pretentious prayers. They're not real. They're not authentic. James chapter 3 says, let not many of you be teachers, because we will incur a stricter judgment. In other words, this is a real disease of the ministry. And this is the ministry that someone like me, and I'd just like to say this, civil religion and civil society is joined at the hips. We so love a society that looks Christian, we are often quite content to have fakes in it, as long as they say the right words. Is that a terrible thing I just said? It's true. But the warning is not so much against civil religion. It's this disease that attacks the men that are involved in it. That would be the ministers of the gospels, teachers, pastors. In Matthew's gospel, Matthew slips right from the warning. He says, watch out for this, into woes. The seven horrible woes of Matthew's gospel, the seven woes. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut the kingdom of heaven against men. And I won't go on to that one. Woe to you, verse 15 of chapter 23. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you traverse sea and land to make a single proselyte. These guys are evangelical, you might say. Woe, he says. He's no longer warning. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus has slipped from warning the church and God's people to pronouncing woes. This is the fiercest passage in the whole Bible. I can remember the first time I had to teach through Matthew's gospel. When I got finished, my head was swimming. That's the second woe. The third, woe to you blind guides who say anyone swears by the temple is nothing, but if one swears by the gold in the temple, he is bound by his oath. Jesus said to him, you blind fools. Mercy. Steve, where's a loving Jesus? You know, that what the stereotypical thought we have of him. Verse 23 of Matthew, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill. You are so biblical. Well, how does it begin? Woe. This is fierce stuff. I hope you know, I have to take no pleasure in it, but it is something I really want you to warn you about. I know you've got it more than I. You want another one? Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs. Outwardly, you are beautiful. In other words, this is a snake hidden in the grass. It's hard to see because on the outside, it looks good. But inside, what's in there? Death. Verse 29. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, saying, if we had lived in those days, we would not have taken part in that stuff. Woe. That's number seven. But he goes on to say, and this is why it's right for me to talk about the copperhead, you are a brood of vipers. Man. So, it should be noted here of the progression from a warning And this now we're just back to Mark's gospel. We've moved from Mark's gospel moves from the warning. He says, watch out for the scribes and the religion they practice. It says they like to dress up in the morning, and they, in Mark's, in Matthew, it says they love greetings in the marketplace. Oh, makes them feel so good. It says they love it. So Mark goes from this warning to a prediction of judgment. I mean, it's just a matter of words here. Let's see. I'll read it to you. And the best seats they love, they like the marketplaces, greetings in the marketplace, the best seats in synagogues, in the place of honor at the feast, at the chamber of commerce. And they devour widows' houses for a pretense and make long prayers. These are people that are out after people's inheritance. They're great. What do they call that? Widows' houses. Your estate. They're after the estate. I tell you, every once in a while I get something in the mail. Would you like this ministry? If you love our ministry, why don't you designate us as the receiver of your estate when you're dead? Oh, mercy. That may be perfectly, I have no idea what their hearts are, but I do know we should watch out. Y'all think I'm being terrible here? Watch out. Then listen to what Jesus says. He goes right from this warning, telling us to watch out for these things, to listen to this, a prediction of judgment. And this is the part, when I read it this last time I studied through this, I just thought, whoa. You or they will receive greater condemnation. Greater than whom? Anybody. The contrast is God is mad enough. These guys are going to get it in a great... You know, God judges things that are relative to each other. Greater condemnation. Whew. I tell you what, you go unheeding of the warning to watch out for this kind of stuff, slip right into the prediction of your judgment. I mean, just if you're not watching this, it says their condemnation is greater. It's very emphatic. So here's some application. I'm going to stay right here. I didn't say this. But it's, well, I didn't say this, but I'm going to repeat it. Hypocrisy is the standing peril of religious leaders. Hypocrisy is a standing peril of religious leaders. If they're self-deceived, their danger is even worse. James just says it. We receive, teachers receive the greater condemnation. So here's the, we should be very careful and watch out for the pit viper in the tall grass. That thing, that's so dangerous. The church should watch out for it in their leaders and pray for them. Pray for pastors and teachers all on the earth. These are good people that fall to this. I mean, good people. They start off pure and good, and then they get in the pastorate and they're asked to speak. I'm poor Chamber of Commerce. I keep jumping on them. To speak of the Chamber of Commerce, and they like this, or they're thinking, oh, I'd like to be the delegate to the national convention of our church, or they want to be a presbyter or whatever your kind of church is. This is a natural thing. And we should pray for when revival comes, God is going to touch men and women that are in places of civil religion, and he's going to touch them, and they're going to see that part of that in their life has just been a fake. We should pray for our brethren in the church and watch for it. If we see it in someone, we shouldn't just say, oh, you bad person. We could all be guilty of this. We should pray for them. It should be the dread of ministers. This should be something we just dread. And we should just be an absolute chagrin if we see it in our own hearts. Boy, oh boy. And I think we should not demand it. We should be very careful when we demand entertainment from our ministers, and they begin to speak to us in such a way that we think they want us to speak. This is entertaining, and it's good, and that they're even more successful when they do that. We are just laying, and the folks in the pew can just be like snares to their pastor. Resist this stuff. So now I've talked to you about civil religion, and I don't plan to do it ever again. But it's a terrible stuff. I like a little Kilseth the other day when they asked us for we were going to pray before a meal, and I said, Lord, thank you for this food. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. And she said, boy, that was a good one, Papa. Short. That's okay. But you know what? If I started praying short prayers just to please her, maybe I ought to pray a good long one. But you see, we don't pray to people. We pray to God. So, if you'd like to do some interesting reading, Matthew chapter 23, Mark chapter 12 here, and Luke chapter 20. All right, let's we pray. Father, I just would lie very low before you. We know you desire truth in the inward man. Truth. Father, we thank you for those ministers, the gospel that you've sent to us, the very, quite verily, gifts from the Spirit of God into the church to minister. Good men, wholesome men. Father, we pray you protect them. Make them watchful, and may we be watchful. Father, and over my own heart, Father, and in this place, Lord, we humble ourselves before you. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.